My audible.
Loud and clear.
Oh, great, 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 great. How are you? How are you, Ambassador?
I'm well, and you?
I'm good, I'm good. My apology for looking at late. Kubega?
Pepper, sir.
Hey, morning, Pepper.
The apology that you have received, do we have a DM or the minister?
Monica. Chairperson and honorable members. Yes, Chairperson, we have received the apology from the minister, but the DM is here.
Brilliant, brilliant.
And the DJ.
Let me then take this opportunity to formally open our meeting by exchanging a word of welcome to all of you. Today's meeting.
This meeting is being recorded.
Is specifically to receive an update from the Department of Public Works and infrastructure on the progress made with regard to the release of land to a housing development agency as part and parcel of the commitment that was made. So hence to today's meeting. But of course, let me, without any waste of time, just indicate that in terms of our agenda, we'll formally request the from following the welcome, formally request the committee secretary to table apologies. Any apologies?
Yes, Chairperson, as I've already alluded, we have received an apology from the minister who is attending a cabinet meeting, and also the acting DG who is attending the meeting in the portfolio committee, and also the two standing apologies for Honorable Lanzmann and Honorable Mateo. Thank you, Chair.
Oh, great. I think let's note those apologies. And without any waste of time, extend also a word of greetings to all our members of the committee and also the deputy minister and her team. And then following that, invited the deputy minister to give us remarks, opening remarks with regard to the presentation. DM?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. A very good morning to your good self, as well as the honorable members of the select committee. The support, the TTG from our department, as well as the support of the committee in Parliament, and our guests. Indeed, Chairperson, let me appreciate the opportunity. I must upfront declare, Honorable Chairperson, that I'm struggling between two meetings, the Portfolio Committee as well as the Select Committee. The Portfolio Committee started already at 9, and I was there to lead the department because our minister took very ill yesterday afternoon as we were coming from Saldanha Bay, where we were handing over the site in terms of the work that has been done on that site to refurbish and to condition that harbour, small harbour, for economic development. And we really yesterday felt proud that Public Works gave meaning to the motto of the department, that South Africa works because of Public Works. Because yesterday we were with a very elated community of Saldanha Bay, seeing how that facility currently is functioning. And our minister took Eagle from when Eslube coming from there, and she has had to see a doctor. She's not just not well, and hence I'm making this plea that I will be straddling between the two meetings, because the portfolio committee is also dealing with critical points. But coming to this meeting, Honorable Chairperson, the topic on land talks to land and property rights and the role the department can play therein. Understanding that the land and property rights are constitutional matters, but as well as the concurrent function that Public Works has with respect to the national department working concurrently on these matters with the provinces. We have had to have engagements with the provinces around the issue of the release of land, to especially that which is targeting development of our communities, especially with respect to human settlements. The report gives detail of how much of that has taken place and where challenges would be and what we are doing about those challenges. But mine is to appreciate the fact that from time to time we appear before the committees to give meaning to our democracy, the notion of being an accountable and transparent government. It's that opportunity, and we really appreciate it. I have on the platform with me the TTG responsible, Ms. Sasa Suban. She will be taking us through the presentation, and we shall be assisting each other. She has also her team with her. That on its own, Chair, that it is, I'm talking about her, is impressive in a male-dominated economic space. Thank you for the opportunity, Chair. I will now hand over to Ms. Sasa Suban, with your permission, of course. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, DM, for the opening remarks. But also, we take note of the fact that there is another meeting that is taking place. And as a result thereof, we appreciate the steps taken by the Deputy Minister to also grace our meeting. So with that, we definitely would, allow the Minister to study between the two. And Ms. Sasa, the floor is yours. It's directed by the DM.
Good morning, Chair. I'm trying to open my camera. I'm struggling a little bit. Okay, there you go. Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, DM. Good morning, honorable members. I'm Sasa Suban. I'm the DDD for Real Estate Investment Services. And within my branch, we have a branch called the Disposal Component that is responsible for the land reform program. And with the IMC, intrinsically involved in the Interministerial Committee with the Deputy President of FASCA, the Land Reform Program, specifically like the DM has mentioned, for DPW to release strategic parcels of land that will support economic growth, development, spatial integration, as well as fast-tracking human settlements development. With your permission, if I can switch off the camera, because I would need you to beam in my presentation, and also just to indicate thank you for the opportunity. I'm joined by Stephen Manietzi. Unfortunately, my director lost his mum, is not able to to be here with us today, Mr. Moses Cele, who's an integral part of this program. I needed to acknowledge that. Thank you, Chair.
Commissioner Grande Musasua.
Thank you. Just going to share my screen. Thank you very much. And just to reinforce, we briefing the Select Committee on the transfer of land parcels to the Housing Development Agency, commonly known as the HDA, and with specific reference to the land parcels that have been alluded to in the Cabinet Memorandum number 3 of 2019. The outline of the presentation will allude to the CAB memo. We'll provide the progress on the transfer of land, both for National Department of Public Works, specifically to the Human Settlements Program, and then provide the progress also. We're taking the opportunity to give some progress in terms of our concurrent mandate on the progress of the land reform, specifically for human settlements, by our provincial Department of Public Works, and we'll indicate the way forward as well. And honourable members, the Cabinet Memorandum number 3 of 2019 approved 167 land parcels under the custodianship of the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure, measuring 14,105 hectares to be released, and this must be accordingly aligned to the priority housing development areas for the period 2019-2020 to 2024-25. Now, in this regard, in terms of the CAB memo, they identified about 156 priority housing development areas, but subsequently this has been reduced to about 57 because more spatial planning was undertaken aligned to SLUMA, etc., and all other planning legislation. So we work with the Department of Human Settlements and HDA to align not only the Human Settlement Program, but also the development that is transpiring, especially new development that Public Works is undertaken to ensure that service delivery is aligned to human settlements development. I can give an example in terms of the social cluster, the SASA, the labor, the home affairs, etc., so that we align accordingly and plan. So thus far, in terms of going back to the CAB memorandum, our high-level verification and due diligence process to determine the viability and the availability of the 167 land parcels to be released to HDA, we have found that 91 land parcels measuring 920 hectares cannot be released. And these are for the following reasons. 28 land parcels measuring 370 hectares were not made available because they were utilized by some of our user departments. Some of them, the custodianship and the vesting thereof belong to other government departments, including SOEs. And a lot of those land parcels were also privately owned. Further, a total of 63 land parcels measuring 550 hectares listed in the CAB memo are currently in use by the Department of Defense. And these comprise, the 63 land parcels comprise of 4 military bases. In the next slide, I will provide more detail in that regard. The land parcels that we're alluding to in terms of the 63 land parcels, these are occupied, and this is mainly in the Western Cape, they're occupied by the Department of Defense, and they're all strategic property for the Department of Defense, save for Moerskloof. We did a site inspection people there. And that portion of land is significantly underutilized. So in Tambua's Kloof, we're looking at a highest and best use. We've commissioned a highest and best use feasibility. And we work with the Department of Defense to see how we can share that particular piece of land and release the other portions through to the HDA for development. So that's what I'm undertaking there. Youngfield is a strategic requirement for the DOD. There's also portions of vacant land there that is in bio-sensitive areas, environmental-sensitive areas, and will not be able to be utilized for human settlement development purposes. We've got the Wingfield Naval Base that is also currently utilized. It is underutilized to a vast extent as well. There's 36 hectares that we also put into a planning realm to determine how we can extract 36 hectares from the 195 to maximize the usage for human settlements purposes. That's also on the go at the moment as well. And then we've got the Air Force-based Estepar, which is also a strategic operational military base and an airfield, utilized as an airfield currently. And unfortunately, there's no underutilized parcels of land here. So in terms of the provincial breakdown, we've broken it down. If we can, in circle, linking back to the CAB memo, there's 167 land parcels. This is the breakdown per province. A lot of land parcels are in the Western Cape. And the extent, as per the CAB memo, equals 14,105. As indicated, 91 of these land parcels are not available. And then, we're working now with 32 land parcels that we need to process further. We successfully processed already 44 land parcels, and that equals an extent of 2,257. The next slide will provide more detail as well. So, like I indicated, to be enforced, in total now from the 14,105 land parcels, we're able to release 13,185. We have released 44 land parcels. We require then to release further 32 land parcels, that is measuring an extent of 10,350 hectares. We'd like to issue the special power of attorney, etc., and proceed with this, but currently we are waiting HDA to provide us with the relevant documentation, including the high-level feasibility that they undertake on these land parcels, also to determine what yield that they will have on the land parcels for development. So we are waiting for that. We engaged APA almost on a weekly basis. They indicate they are working on processing these requests, these formal requests through to us. Currently some of the challenges that they're having is working with the municipalities to get the development yield, etc., and align it to bulk service bulk service availability with municipalities. So they are working on that, and we hope to get this by end of the quarter, by end of June, hopefully, at least some of the land parcels so that we can start the process and reach targets. So we thought we'd also share with yourself and the honourable members the work that's also being done by Provincial Public Works in terms of the concurrent mandate. We do at the MINMAC level, we request the provincial departments to share their land reform program with us, which we also give progress to the INC. And this is this slide particularly alludes to that. On the human settlements, for the human settlements program, already since 2021 to 2022 financial year, the provinces have released 960 land parcels for human settlements. So it's quite a number of land parcels that they have released as well across the provinces. So we share that particular slide with you as well. The challenges that we have in terms of releasing land parcel for redistribution tenure as well as the human settlements in general is that the supporting documentation right across the board is sometimes, it takes a while to come through. And also this is relevant to the Housing Development Agency, where, like I indicated, we are waiting for the processing for the 10,000 odd land parcel that my colleagues are working on. Now, we require their feasibility, their viability studies. We require that they've got to show alignment to SPLUMA and the priority development areas, as well as the extent of the development. So that is important. Those are some of the requirements that we have before we can then process that through our value chain, which also will look at, a physical verification of the site, processing of the submissions, checking ownership, and that type of thing. But my team they work very hard at that, and we've got a process in place to address this. The other challenges that both provinces and national has is sometimes the vesting challenges, which we are also addressing with the Department of Agriculture and Rural Development. As part of our processing, we also, there's no land claims on that particular site. And also, like I've alluded to in the presentation, some of the sites that have been identified by HDA, they are user departments that are utilizing the site for their strategic imperatives. And therefore, there's non-availability of that land due to the strategic requirement by user departments such as defense, SAPs in particular. Okay, the next slide I've put through just to show and give honorable members and yourself comfort that whatever planning we do, it's aligned to the National Spatial Development Framework. It's aligned to the priority housing development areas that is identified by human settlements and the HDA. And we specially map the properties together with the HDA. They do spatial mapping, and also in terms of our asset register, we do the same. And what we also we've done recently is to then also put pressure on the HDA to show us on the land parcels that we have released and where they've started work, to show us some of the yields that they're having on the land, because I don't believe that we should be releasing the land without showing the impact that we're having, especially for development and the growth of our communities. So they have sent us some of the slides. At the next time, I will present on that. So in terms of the way forward, and as per the IMC resolution, DPW will sponsor a CAB memo to brief Cabinet accordingly on the progress, as I've articulated today, and also to indicate some of our challenges in not being able to release, the 91 land parcels and the reasons thereof. Chair, like I indicated, we also have a technical team constituting some planning specialists that will undertake some studies on the land that we believe. For example, in the presentation, we've made reference to the DOD land that is underutilized. So we will look at those parcels of land that comes through from the CAB memo on how we can have a mixed use type of development there. One of the land parcels that is not available is in Blaaberg Strand. It is in the region of about 217 odd hectares. So that we will look at also in terms of how we're going to develop highest and best use on that and present that also to Cabinet. Chair, we will pause there and hope that the Select Committee will make progress on Public Works and will continue to accelerate this important program. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Ms. Subban, for the presentation to the Select Committee. I will now open the floor for the committee members to engage with the presentation. for clarity seeking purposes, but also for concrete proposals that members might be interested in. Over to you, members. Can members indicate that by using the raise your hand option? I've noted Honorable Apleni. Let's start with Honorable Apleni. The floor is yours, Honorable Apleni.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thanks for the presentation. I'll be very brief, Chair. You know, the concern that I have is that in many instances, you would have the issues around land where people are being kicked out of the land in some cases where they have built structures for themselves. You would see that the municipalities through the courts and all of that going as far as demolishing those structures. One understands that in some cases it would be a matter of a court order and all of that. But the question that I have, Chair, is that wouldn't it be more better if, for instance, in some cases, the department would consider that some of these people have already built the structures in those areas and they have already settled there. How about in the case of giving these land parcels that the department would consider in some cases, instead of demolishing those structures and doing all of those things, consider giving those pieces of land to those people who are already occupying them. I understand this is being politicized in many cases where it would be aligned with some political organizations to say that these people were actually agitated to go and put the structures in those areas illegally. In most cases, you would find out that, for instance, in 146 BCM, I think around the airport in East London, the people were removed. Even the court would say to the municipality, but you should have not removed the structures. And it was instructed to assist those people to build those structures again. But until today, you find a situation where nothing is being done. So my question is, wouldn't it be better for the department before the government would go as far as demolishing the structures which have been built so hard by the most poor people? Consider trying to see whether those structures cannot go, those pieces of land cannot be given to those people as land parcels. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Honorable Apleni, noted. Honorable Dango, what is yours?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I am a bit concerned at the speed about the at which these transfers are being effected. The question of land housing is a big issue, and I would urge the department to speed up and actually get these transfers done sooner rather than later. The other issue I raised, Chairperson, is a purely selfish interest. We live in Acacia Park, all of us. We border on the Wingfield Air Base. They don't maintain the air base, so the snakes come across to do Acacia Park. If that can be developed as soon as possible, then MPs or future MPs in the next term would not have the same problems. Thank you. That's a selfish concern. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Kango. From my side, the slide that deals with the provincial spread of the allocation of land, where it requires a progress made according to province, it will be important probably from the team if they could just probably even break that slide down in terms of distance, so that as members of the select committee who have presence in our district through constituency presence, so that at least we are more armed. I believe that that will also give more a meaning to the district development model imperatives. The department can provide that information in the next coming, let's say, 4-7 days to the community. The second one relates to the state land that is under communal land regime, particularly with regard to a land that is under the watchful eye of traditional leaders. Watchers, or I can say guardians of that state land, because in terms of the Agricultural Land Act, that land is vested in the state, particularly in the Department of Agriculture. One of the dilemma that we have with regard to the property regime in South Africa for 7 years is that the villagers under traditional leadership don't have the benefit of certificate of ownership in terms of the parcel of land that they occupy. So I would be more interested to get a sense in terms of, through this regime, is there no way in terms of the discussion unfolding for the rural dwellers also to begin to start enjoying the fruits of liberation, because when you go to town, those people have title deeds. When you go to rural areas, there is no security of tenure. So it's an area that we definitely need to look into, because I suspect the same program that is unfolding could be conceptualized to benefit the rural dwellers. I'm raising this point because in the past, the Communal Land Rights Act was passed by Parliament, but the Constitutional Court reversed that bill because it was discriminatory in nature, because it created a dual system of property regime, And as a result thereof, to a larger extent, it was held to be divisive and also discriminatory in terms of the property regime, because we wanted to create property regime both for the rural dwellers and also for those that are living in urban towns. Thank you. Let me give over to Mr. Shasuba to respond.
Thank you very much, Chair. In terms of Honorable Apleni, we note the concern, especially in terms of structures that have been built. The good news is that the Human Settlements Program acknowledges that there's a lot of informal structures and informal dwellers. And what they are trying to do with their program is to formalize the program and also look at perhaps formalizing the ownership of land. It is a program that they're running with. What they're actually doing is looking at giving ownership and titles, and especially for the land. So that then when people own the land, they enable them to put up appropriate structures and spend more money and obviously increase the value there. So there is a program that Human Settlements is running in that regard. Specifically, also though, and it will also be linked to the BCM case, when they're doing this, what they do is that they look at ensuring that people are in areas that meet environmental, meeting the environmental laws, etc. Those must be met, and those considerations must be taken into account. Now, if we look at the BCM case, for example, the areas in which the structures were, they were dangerous for the people. Case in point is also in KZN with the flooding, where people put informal structures in unsafe areas. So this is looked at in context. But what they do is, the Human Settlements, is that if it's public works land, for example, and they need to move people, then it's incumbent, it's required in terms of law that an alternative land or dwelling is provided. And I think there's a team that is working especially in Greydell. I'm aware there's a team that has been put in place to deal with this matter and with Human Settlements leading this particular project. So just to summarize, there is a plan in place by Human Settlements to formalize informal structures that has been developed. However, it has to be in safe areas. The issue that Honorable Dango raised, we do acknowledge that we will speed up further. But as the presentation indicated, there's a massive dependency on HDA. As soon as we get those the next tranche that aligns to the 10,000 square meters, we will definitely fast track. We have a program in place, and we will drive that with my team. So we acknowledge that. Acacia Park, part of the highest and best use that we will look at. And we hope to also fast track with the DOT that portion of land where development can happen, and hopefully it will assist in terms of the challenges that is being experienced there. Finally, Chair, thank you for acknowledging the provincial spread, and we note that going forward we will provide the breakdown per district linked to the DDM model, and we will attempt to provide that in 7 days, linking in with our provincial counterparts. The state land under communal regime, Chair, I'm not the expert in that regard. It is within the ambit of Department of Agriculture, Rural Development and Land Reform. They are the custodians, as you indicated, of communal land. But they're putting, they've acknowledged everything that you have stated as well. There was recently a workshop as well held with the heads, the owners, the community owners of the land, as well as the traditional leaders, to look at coming to some solution on how we can have security of tenure, especially for dwellers that have been, you know, living on that land, communal dwellers for long periods of time. And they're trying to bring that into a policy regime. But yeah, I'll pause there because that is work in progress and rural development is heading that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Suvan, for responding to the questions. The breakdown at the level of district.
Bye-bye.
Can you say anything with regard to that?
May I?
Sorry?
Yes, Deputy Minister?
May I come in, Chair? Thank you very much. And let me acknowledge the questions from the honourable members. It's questions that make us think in order for us to tick. Chair, on the depletion of structures, I just wanted to add that in as much as it is painful to have to demolish that which people have so worked hard to build for themselves, we also need to balance that with the kind of disasters that government find itself having to deal with later on. You know, there are areas called the Ndlovu. Wherever you go to those areas, Nkanini Ndlovu, which means we came here by force and we will stay here by force. You find that those people are either in a playing field which is disastrous to build on. And when disasters strike, it becomes now the baby of government to assist those people who forcefully took that land. But also it promotes indirectly the culture of anarchy, that if I want to do it here, I will do it here, irrespective. And I don't think, as a constitutional state, we as public representatives should be seen to condone that behavior, because it's a behavior that then draws the country back. When you think you are forward, you are drawn back because now you have to deal with a more difficult situation which could have been avoided had everybody followed the law. So I do want to say, and it's the example of East London and the airport is that piece of land, most part of it was intended, in fact, is owned not even by Public Works per se, by the airport company, for sole purpose of extending the airport, the runway. Now people come and build houses at the end of a runway. When an airplane cannot land or take off properly, what happens to those houses at the end of the runway? And these are things that it would be a disaster which could have been avoided, but which is not, which would be terrible for government to have to deal with. And yes, being a responsible government, we have engaged the communities there. We have moved some of the communities, but there are those who insist to remain there. The government has availed some of its farms, some of its land, both the metro and the province, as well as national government. People are there's a residential area, new residential area in Boxwood. Houses are being built, but people just don't want to move to there. They want to remain where they are, where it is dangerous. Now we can't be expected to promote an anarchy. We will not try to be popular and promote anarchy. It would be uncalled. We are assisting to move those communities, those who cannot even build, who are in shacks, those who do not have the money to buy land. They are being moved by human settlements to elsewhere. But as I say, as public representatives, we must be able to promote good governance. We must be able to promote lawful activities. We can't be seen to be promoting anarchy. We can't be seen to be promoting lawlessness in a constitutional democracy. Secondly, on the question of the 7 days, I note that SASSA has committed herself, but understanding that we depend, that analysis depend on the extent to which the province is able to bring us that information. And I'm worried that we commit to 7 days on something that we still depend on others to bring to us. I would say, Chair, as soon as it is made available, we will share it with your good self, but we will work towards that 7 days. But I wouldn't want to really say it will be 7 days, because remember, when we commit here, there are implications. I just wanted to make that plea on the 7 days. On the 2 weeks ago, Chair, the national government, led by the deputy president who's chairing the IMC on land, that's the extent to which we take the matters of land seriously. There's an interministerial committee of public works, land and rural development, and agriculture, human settlements, justice, you know, all the departments that matter in the question of land. There is that IMC in which we participate as a department, which facilitated through the Department of Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development. We facilitated a summit which had more than 1,500 participants just last week. And one of the critical issues, that summit was communal land summit, because it had to deal and engage deeper with the challenges that are experienced when dealing with communal land. And there's the question of the security of tenure, the questions of the title deed, and the fact that the patterns of ownership of land in communal areas, that the homestead is not necessarily an individual's property, it's a family property. And once you give in there, or you provide in there, the issues of title deeds. Who in this family owns this title deeds? And what happens if this one person who has got this title deed messes up with the ownership thereof? What happens to the rest of the family? So those were questions that we're engaging with. And some proposals have been coming to the fore that, no, the title deed must be a special type that would be given to the king. I'm kind of illustrating here that the issue of communal land and title deeds is a sensitive one, is also a complicated one. And we have engaged communities who live in communal areas together with the traditional leadership, the House of National House and provincial houses were represented in these discussions. And without me going into the whole of the summit, I just wanted to illustrate that this is a matter that as government and as a country, we assist with in terms of engaging, and we have proposals on the table which must be tested, the impact both legally, economically, and otherwise would be. And I think those the resolutions, once finalized, will be shared with the various committees. And we will, once we receive them as well, we will share with the committee. I thought that I needed to reflect on those. And thanks for the opportunity, Chair.
Thank you, DM, for the clarity. The NA is rising next week, and the NSOP will be a week thereafter, meaning that we'll de facto be having 8 weeks. So it will be 7 days. It's okay, Minister. We can give the Minister's team until we come back.
Thank you.
So thank you for that presentation and clarity, and also response to the engagement as raised by the members. We would want to then, in the absence of any follow-up, then take this opportunity to express our gratitude to the team led by the minister, and officially release the minister and the team as we engage on in-house issues. Thank you, Deputy Minister, and the team.
Thank you, Chair, and all the best.
Thank you, dear. Committee Secretary, the minutes. Thanks, for that. These are the minutes of the first of the minutes of the 1st of June 2022, where we received a progress report on the rollout of the integrated public transport network from the Department of Transport. Those are the attendees, honorable members, and the apologies. And then the support team, open remarks that were made, apologies again. And then that is how the structure of the presentation was crafted. And then the comments raised by members. And then we also dealt with the minutes of the previous meetings, and then the announcement on the additional work given to the SLIP committee. Any addition, subtraction, correction from honorable members? In the absence of any addition and subtraction, can we then get a move for the adoption of the minutes?
Thank you. I so move, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Shuri. Move, and then Honorable Dama second. Any contrary view? The minutes are therefore duly adopted as a true reflection of what transpired in the on the meeting of the 1st of June 2022. Like as indicated, members, were there additional work given to the select committee? We will be in our progress on our program for the next term. Request a slot for the induction of the department on the work of the department. It's a matter that will request the management team to work on. It might be important if honorable members agree, even that's the day dealing with the induction. So we will be working on that with the team. And if we can get the permission from the chair of the house, from the house chair, to arrange that, but we'll definitely keep our members informed on that. I'm just reading so that at least members must know that we can't just venture into an unknown territory without an induction. And therefore, we will be looking into a program where we will be getting inducted on the work of the MNE department. Having said that, let's then agree that the agenda of today has been formally exhausted, and that we are continuing with our work. Today we will be debating again. The plenary, but it will not be the Select Committee. We are almost done. It's only our sister committee that is still engaged, that must still debate the employment and labor. So having said that, honorable members, the meeting is formally closed. Committee secretary will be, I suspect, will organize a management meeting. Even if it means sometimes next week, just to work on the modalities of that induction. Thank you, honorable members. The meeting is adjourned now.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
The recording has stopped.
Congratulations, Marikani.
Thank you.
Working really hard. Thank you, Sonia. Great. Yeah.